Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM with Gillette. When we show our best side, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Game on 2FM.
It's Thursday, the 2nd of April.
Coming up today, Galway hurler Conor Whelan has some sound advice for stressed out secondary school students.
But the most important thing is to try and keep a routine. I find for myself personally, I'm doing my best to try and keep the consistent routine every single day, getting up around 8:15, trying to keep that in place to ensure that you're able to perform to the best of your ability throughout the course of your day.
Solid advice. Is there any solution to the Irish football manager mess? We ask one of our most decorated Irish players.
Houlihan to swing it. Over the top, Hendrick is there. Hendrick back in danger zone. On his 100th international, who brings Ireland level in the final minute of additional time. And this is a most magnificent evening for the Irish in Germany.
Good times indeed. Plus, we've Shep with some essential telly. We look at how sports businesses are coping. And Damien Lawler has GAA news.
Game on 2FM.
Yeah, all that and much more between now and 7 o'clock, where the amazing Gavin James will be performing live to support the ISPCC. So stay tuned. You can text us on 51552 or you can tweet at GameOn2FM. Marie, how are we doing?
I'm doing great.
You're back.
I'm back today. I got a real lift this morning. I love reading RTE's My Social Distancing pieces, and they have a different sports person every day. So Keith Ward from Bowes, who's been on our show a few times, was up this morning. And one of the questions is, what's the first thing you do in the morning? I get up at 10 a.m. Love it. I have my breakfast. I go for a quick 15 minute jog around the estate, and then I head back to my room for some Netflix.
You know the way you think that's crazy? That's the norm, like in the sports.
I think it's great.
The sporting bubble.
I think it's brilliant. I'm reading about people getting up at 7 a.m. and doing spin classes and having fruit smoothies and doing productive things, a bit of yoga, a bit of Pilates, reading some books. But this is real life here we're getting from Keith. This is the actual truth, and you know it's the truth, and it's brilliant.
It's the truth, and thank God he's owning it. He's not running a marathon out his backyard or anything.
Not yet, but we've a bit to go before we're going to have football back, don't you?
That's true. Isn't it amazing when you hear that John O'Shea clip? I think we're all going to get emotional when we get to the next big sporting moment, aren't we? We're being starved.
I think we're going to get emotional when we get any sporting moment, whatever it is. We'll take anything.
It's so true. And you mentioned it today. I don't know, did you see it? Did you see one of the clips of CJ Standler training at all? We sent it on. We've been sharing in our WhatsApp group. Sorry, I'm acting like two of us don't know what we're chatting about. Sorry.
Tell me about it.
CJ Sandler is looking for a bit of contact training, and today he was training against a sheep. and this is genuine. Like
How do you train against a sheep, though?
I'll be honest, I'm going to find it really hard to explain, and you do need to watch it. We'll tweet it out or we'll push it out in our social media channels. But basically, this sheep is running at CJ and he's using his footwork to avoid him, and he's just he's getting away from him as best he can and giving him the odd dunt, which I can kind of understand as a rugby player. You need... There's one thing, Marie, about being physically fit and ready to go, but you need to be battle-hardened as well. So if you have to go out and get knocked around by a sheep, good man, CJ.
The sheep was well able to get the ball off him as well.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was a good battle. Definitely worth checking out. Yeah. Another good one that I saw this morning was Desi Ward from Monaghan. He built a football pitch in his back garden. I'd say it's more his back field. So it's a field behind his house. He found a place that was flat enough and he lined it all out and put the goals and he's got the flags and it's full football pitch.
And he's using it purely for training?
Purely to play football. He said, he was speaking on Ryan Tuberty this morning and he said that when he knew the lockdown was coming, like his first thought was, where am I going to play football? And then his next thought was, oh look, I'm going to make myself a football pitch out here in the back where they've got plenty of open space.
Do you think he just needs to see a pitch? You know, maybe it's even that, just it's medicine for him to just go out there and look at a pitch.
Well, I'd say he can just look out his back window now and he's got a full pitch there.
Yeah.
It's class. I was looking at Roger Federer as well, who's, I don't know where he lives, but it's somewhere where there's snow anyway. And he's posting videos which look absolutely amazing. They look like a TV ad. There's all snow-covered mountains in the background and he's just hitting the ball off the wall. He's saying going back to basics, he might go for a jog, but it's like a, an ad with Roger Federer just playing a bit of tennis.
Yeah, you're just waiting for this is brought to you by Toblerone or something.
It probably is, to be fair now.
Well, we're not alone in it and we're delighted to be joined by Jeff Shepherd. Shep, we've been chatting about how people are using different ways to train. What's going on stateside? What are the American athletes doing?
Well, guys, they are trying to get just as creative now. I mean, maybe out west we have, you know, herds of animals roaming the countryside, but you know, most in the east and across the south, you know, you don't really have a lot of that. Yeah, I mean, you know, you just, they're trying to get creative. I mean, they're trying to do things to stay in shape. They can't really go to, you know, a public gym, obviously, and their facilities, even the team facilities are closed. So, you know, I noticed, I saw Malcolm Jenkins, who is going to be playing for the Saints this year. He's been with the Eagles for the last 5 or 6 years. He was doing some workouts on the stairs outside of his home. But instead of using weights, he picked up his two young daughters and put them on his back and kind of carried them around like backpacks. And he would go up and down the stairs. So that was fun. You know, that's bonding and, you know, fun for the girls and fun for dad as well. But that was an interesting way to kind of get a leg workout in. I saw an offensive lineman from Duke was pushing a pickup truck down the street, you know, to try to work on his strength. Another Eagles player, he's got a brother who used to play in the NFL and another brother who played in college. And so they've been kind of doing some workouts together. So, people are just trying to get creative and not get bored.
Yeah, very
good. In fact,
it's quite smart. You drop a weight or a weighted vest, you'd never drop one of your little girls. That's quite creative and smart, isn't it?
Right, yes.
Shep, I a few years ago, I bought a table and it was cheaper to buy a flat pack, and being quite scanty, I decided that wouldn't be a bad idea. About 3 days later, I rang the shop saying I'll pay any money for you to put this together because I just couldn't manage it. Stephen Curry's having the exact same problem, isn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, I say this with as much respect for Steph Curry as you could have. Man, I have been there myself, brother. Like, it is, he was trying to put together a basketball goal because, you know, again, he can't go to the Warriors facility to go work out. And, you know, a lot of NBA players, I mean, they make so much money nowadays. You know, they have these big mansions and some of them, you know, just build basketball courts at their house so they can kind of always get a workout in. Steph Curry apparently did not have a basketball goal before the coronavirus pandemic started. So his wife ordered him one and it got delivered to the house. And then he had to put it together. And he said it took him about 5 hours to put it together. And as a dad who has put together many, not just toys for my young kids, but I've put together a basketball goal before. Man, I've been there.
Yeah.
I know exactly where he's coming from. It is not as easy. It's a whole lot better to just go somewhere when there's already a goal put up.
Chef, we're going through it at the moment. Actually, we got one a little while ago and my husband decided to try and put it together. So for 3 days, the base has been on the kitchen floor and the pole with the net is out up against a tree. So he hasn't figured out how to attach the two yet, but he did announce just before I came in here that he's lost the last bolt that he needs. So I don't know if it's ever going to be put together.
Well, you know what? I usually always have stuff left over after I put things together. So maybe he can, like, you know, you can DM me on Twitter or something and we can figure this out.
Send it over.
I love that Billy is still using the net, though. That the lads,
oh,
it
yeah,
still
the net's
goes
been
out.
Used. And Shep, away from the sport, Donegan and I are really looking forward to the Last Dance. We know that it's coming out soon, the documentary on Jordan. You actually emailed me today and you said it could potentially be the most watched thing in the world on television, and I don't think that's an overstatement.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was partially joking, but I mean, so what's going on is ESPN has put together a, I think it's like a, what is it, a 6 or an 8 part documentary on Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls in the 90s. And I think it's specifically the last couple of years of his time there when he had become this giant global phenomenon. And it was supposed to be released in June after the NBA Finals, you know, to kind of help you. There's always a dead part in American sports pretty much from the end of June to the beginning of August, and it's kind of like baseball is the only thing that's going on. It's between the NBA and the start of the NFL season. And so ESPN has announced, again, because of everything going on in the world right now, they're going to release it early. They're going to move it up to release it in April. And so it is. It's like I said. I mean, you know, if you're a fan of basketball, if you know, or American sports, and Michael Jordan, and just what he has meant, you know, why would you not watch this? I mean, it's, you know, it'll be something you've never seen before. It'll take you back to your childhood if you're someone my age. You know, it'll show all these, you know, youngsters, all these millennials and these kids. Did I just say youngsters? How old am I? But like all these young kids that think, you know, LeBron's the greatest ever. It'll, you know, kind of give them a reality check about Michael Jordan and who he was and how great he was. I just think it's going to be phenomenal. We'll get to see, you know, Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen and Phil Jackson and Steve Kerr. I mean, you're just getting the whole gang back together. It's got the potential to just do unbelievable numbers when it comes time to watch this thing.
Yeah, Jeff, I must be honest. I haven't been this excited since MacGyver or the A-Teams. We're going to hear a clip and we'll chat to you next week. Thanks a million for joining us on Game On.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
My mentality was to go out and win at any cost.
Jordan is the most talented player in the NBA by far.
The show of the 90s, the team of the 90s.
How you doing?
Whenever they speak Michael Jordan, they should speak Scottie Pippen.
We created an image that people want to live up to. I think that's all you can hope for.
Well, that has been built up nicely. I hope that it lives up to the excitement and anticipation that we are all feeling. Now to GAA News, and Damien Lawler joins us. Damien, we've been chatting there about teams getting inventive and players getting inventive. Has there been anything different been done by GAA teams when it comes to training?
Marie, I think a couple of them around the country have tried to go to local schools to try and have puck arounds and kick arounds, but they've been shot down with that pretty quickly too. They've been closed off with that. I think Zoom is keeping the entire inter-county population going. They're doing sessions there every week on that. But most of the time, though, like the players get up in the morning, they have their porridge or their protein intake, and they do a weight session early in the morning. A lot of these players have home gyms anyway, and they're trying to help each other out in that front. And I think to get a kind of a high-powered run in during the day as well, what the distances are, I'm not sure, but I think anywhere between 3 and 5K at a high intensity is what they're encouraged to do. But they're still training five times a week, and that would be the average, Marie. In terms of being inventive, just the usual stuff, like if you're a hurler, the rebounder, the wall, having somebody to puck around with in your own family would be a huge thing. And I think a lot of the players are actually gone back to basics in this, kicking a ball against the wall or hitting a ball against the wall. And you can actually work very, very much on that. But you think you're restricted really in everything else. So it just remains to be seen what sort of touch these guys will have.
Damien, we had TJ Reid on last night and he was speaking. He's actually helping out and helping parents by showing the basics. But when you come to the top end, it's, you know it yourself, it's the basics done well that separate the best and the top. It is a great time for everyone to go back, isn't it?
Yeah, basics at speed as well, so they tell me anyway. I mean, it's I've often probably seen great coaches having sessions and I've been kind of taken aback by the simplicity of it. But like, for example, a lot of the top managers in hurling would spend maybe 15 minutes at one training session just focusing on hooking and blocking and doing the basics. But as you say, Donica, doing them right. And even to go back to your own native county in Cork, the kind of short passing game that Cork played throughout the kind of the noughties, It took a lot of work to work up to that level, that they could actually produce it on match day. So it's all about touch and maybe the ability to stay going for 70 minutes now. That's what inter-county players use the National League to build up towards. And obviously that's missing now. And who knows if we get a championship this year. And if we do, how long of a lead-in time we'll get into it. It's all up in the air. It's just so much up in the air still.
Damien, we've kind of accepted now the reality that we're in and we're beginning to understand it and get to grips with it. And what's come with that is that people are now starting to count the cost, and we're seeing pay cuts in different sporting organisations, the GAA being one. But there's also a bigger picture there as well, and the fact that we know now that some of these games aren't going to go ahead. We had the London manager on recently and he was talking about Roy Slip and losing out there, and they probably won't be the only ones either, Damien.
No, they will not, Marie. For example, John Prenti has been talking about in Connacht running the championship off over three games there. But go to the Ulster Championship, which is a cultural icon for the GAA, really. It's all about tribalism and stuff like that. And they have a really attractive Ulster Championship this year on paper. It's estimated now that, I was just talking to Declan Woods, who's the Ulster GAA PRO, and he reckons 1.5 million, 1.6 million could be lost in gate receipts alone. But that's not it. If you add on the commercial revenue, that figure could rise to 2.5 million. That's just for one quarter of our country. That's for the Ulster province, the Ulster Championship. And that will have a knock-on effect. There's no doubt about that. Where will it have the knock-on effect? I mean, you've got staff all over the country for a start. But more importantly, I think at provincial council level, 50% of the gate receipts go back to the clubs. So you drive anywhere around the country, and you see the 3G pitches, the floodlights, the ball wall, the new clubhouse, maybe a new field being laid down. A lot of that money would have been raised by the clubs, but an awful lot will have come down from provincial council grants as well. So for years, people have been kind of disrespecting or maligning the provincial championships or provincial councils and saying, are they worthwhile anymore? Should we go for an open draw? Are these guys really worthwhile? Well, to trickle the revenue down, they are, and to get the revenue in, they are, and we're going to see it now. If worst case scenario that there is no championship this year, that'll be a colossal worry for Ulster, but every other province will face the same, and they'll face it in Munster as well, and Leinster with the round robin hurling. Big worries for all these people, and as we've seen, Marie, already this week, and Dunica, cuts of in pay and income between 10% and 20%, and I think all around the country, especially the provincial councils, are doing all they can to try and safeguard jobs at the moment. But it's a worrying position. So you're right, Marie, it trickles down everywhere.
Yeah, there is going to be big fallout. Damien, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break and you'll be delighted to hear we're chatting to Conor Whelan after the break. What a super guy.
Thanks, Damien.
No butter. Two
FM. Game on 2FM with Gillette. When we show our best side, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. Game on 2FM.
Now, our next guest is someone that we would be hoping we would be watching on the hurling field, but instead we are talking to him on the phone. Conor Whelan, Galway Hurler, how are you?
How are things? How are we getting on?
We're not too bad. How is this current crisis treating you?
I suppose it's not too bad, training away on our own. And teaching away online, so doing the best we can in the current circumstances, I suppose, really.
So teaching away online, what does that mean now? I my husband's actually a teacher, so I'm curious to see what you're up to.
So yeah, we're back to Microsoft Teams there, so we're trying to teach our students as best we can online. So giving them work every day and trying to correct that work that they submit at the end of the day.
Conor, what level are you teaching at?
I'm teaching secondary level. So I'm teaching English and history. So I've all English this year. I'm teaching in Colossaware in Ballygar. So I don't have any exam years, thank God. So I don't have the stresses of trying to prepare them for exams that we don't know if it's going to happen or not. But I do have fifth years, I suppose. So that's, it's important to try and prepare them for next year, I suppose. Obviously, it's not ideal.
You always use the platform that you have to speak about how important it is to value mental health and to put importance on it. Just right now, how difficult is it for young people?
From a teaching perspective, I suppose you would have massive empathy for students who are doing exams. In the summertime, hopefully, if they happen, there's a massive sense of unknown, and I suppose with unknown comes a lot of uncertainty and ultimately anxiety. I suppose if you're to push yourself in their shoes, you can just, I suppose, realize, like, the anxiety that's coming with that, in that, you know, they all have got full marks in their orals, and that's a massive, I suppose, bonus to get. But, you know, they still have to sit written exams, and they're trying to prepare as best they can. They have no access to, I suppose, classroom-based teaching, which is essential. And at this current moment, I suppose, most of the Leaving Cert students would have all the material covered, and they'd be trying to revise back over. Their teachers would be trying to guide them on what's the best path to cover, what's the best material to try and cover, and I suppose they don't have access to that. And, you know, I can imagine from their perspective, you know, there's a massive sense of unknown and uncertainty, and, you know, it is very difficult to try and prepare for an exam that you know is going to happen, but I suppose it's even more difficult to prepare for an exam that you don't know when it's going to happen, so you don't know when the deadline is. And, you know, from my perspective, I suppose we're in a similar enough situation in that we're preparing for a championship that we don't know when it's going to happen. So I kind of have a bit of understanding there from their perspective, in trying to prepare for something that you don't know when it's going to happen is extremely hard.
Conor, what tips or advice would you be giving to the secondary school students you're dealing with for dealing with that anxiety? There's no one better. You've been there at inter-county level with your club, with your college, just managing anxiety like that.
I suppose the most important thing is to try and keep a routine. You know, that's I find for myself personally, in that I'm doing my best to try and keep a consistent routine every single day, getting up around 8:15, trying to keep that, I suppose, in place, to ensure that you're able to perform to the best of your ability throughout the course of your day. I also find planning out your day, particularly for students, planning out what subjects they're going to do, is important, in that you're not just, I suppose, freeloading throughout the day, you know, doing a bit of this, doing a bit of that, but not actually getting much content covered. And I suppose the other one, I suppose, is to take some time out, you know, go for a jog, get some exercise in, to try and keep a lifestyle balance throughout the course of your day. I suppose it's very important that you're not just stuck inside a room all day long. And I think particularly for students, interacting, you know, keeping in contact with your friends. I know that they can't see each other, but I suppose it's very important that they do interact, that they talk to each other over the phone, WhatsApp, and sending text messages, etc. Because I think that's crucial in school. When students have the anxiety of doing exams, of stressing before the exams, and they're all able to talk to their friends, that they're able to, I suppose, unload on them and let go of some of that stress. And I suppose they don't have that avenue now. I suppose the most important thing is that they keep in contact and they stay connected. You know, that's something that's very important for me as well, training. And I suppose all of our goal advisors are on the same page, in that we're all trying to stay connected, trying to stay in contact to see how we're all getting on, to ensure that we're all, I suppose, bringing each other along the path, because it is very difficult to train on your own. It's very difficult to study on your own, to be isolated for a long period of time. I know, I suppose that's something that I'm able to see myself. And, you know, I suppose that'll probably be my advice, to stay connected and to try and plan out your days so that you're able to get the best from yourself, really.
Conor, there's no denying that we're in really, really strange times, and I can't even imagine what it's like being on a team and not knowing what's coming down the track in terms of championship. Just for yourselves, like the Galway team, what are you doing trying to, as you said, stay connected and just try and prepare for what potentially could be a championship of sorts?
Yeah, well, I suppose the most important thing is that we're following the guidelines from the HSE, and that we're all social distancing, so we're all at home. We're all basically staying confined to our own areas. That's the most important thing, I suppose, is that we can all do our part to try and bring this pandemic to an end. But we're also not losing sight of the fact that, you know, there will be a championship hopefully at some stage, and we're going to have to be in position to be able to perform. So we're all trying to, I suppose, we're all given a programme and we're told to follow it, and we're trying to follow it as best we can. Obviously, we can't get the same level of intensity as we would from collective sessions, but I suppose trying to stay fit, trying to stay active, both for myself personally and from a Galway perspective, you know, these are tough times, and I think it's important that we all look after our mental health. We look after our physical health as well. And that's obviously funneling into being able to perform at Galway at a later stage. But, you know, personally for myself as well, I think it's very important that I stay active for my physical health and also for my mental health.
Conor, you mentioned it there, and we had Joe Canning on last week speaking about it. You can work an awful lot on your physical fitness, and you're right, the mental rehearsal you could be doing at the moment, but your game is skill-based. How do you keep that touch, the momentum going with the skill base of the sport of hurling at the moment?
Well, I suppose you have to work on those skills, I suppose, yourself personally. So I suppose the Gable into the house, just working on your first touch and your striking. Obviously, it's not ideal, but I suppose, you know, we all have to do our fair share to try and flatten this curve. Hopefully, we will get, I suppose, a window, hopefully 4 weeks, to try and, you know, sharpen up and try and hone in on those skills prior to the first championship game.
That was Conor Whelan speaking to us in his capacity as a role ambassador for Patrick Burke's Menswear, a leading lifestyle and menswear store in the Midwest. They can't guarantee you'd look as well as him, but I'd say they'd tug you out in a good outfit, Marie.
A Clare shop as well. Let's get that out there.
Always the best. So yeah, Patrick Burke's, thanks so much. Okay, we'll take a quick break and we're back with John O'Shea.
On 2FM with Gillette. When we show our best side, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. Game on 2FM.
Now, welcome back to Game On, and moving on to football. And there might not be much on-field action, but there is definitely plenty happening off it. And former Republic of Ireland and Manchester United footballer John O'Shea joins us now to talk through everything that's been happening in the world of football. John, before we get into that, how are things with you?
Yeah, evening, Marie. Evening, Donica. Yeah, all good, thankfully. Locked up here over in Berkshire with the family, all good, thankfully. Obviously sticking to the rules and the self-isolation, as they say, and social distancing and exercising once a day if we can. We're just out, have a kid out in the garden at the moment, trying to keep them occupied, just the truth, obviously, is just to tire them out before bed if we can.
We all know it. We all
understand.
Know it. We've all been there, John. But actually, within that, like, you're obviously coaching at Reading now. Are you missing that, being on field, getting out there to help out? Is it a bit of relief shouting and roaring at the kids for having high performance?
Yeah, I'm taking it out on them. their homework and their PE, I've turned into a hard taskmaster. But no, look, You do miss it, obviously. When you look at what I was used to, obviously, playing for so long and the routines, and then I went into coaching, as you said, and coaching at Reading at the minute, and obviously you're straight into a routine again. And to have that taken away, it's just taking a bit of getting used to. But when you look at the bigger picture and you see what's happening in the UK and Ireland and obviously around the world, it's a much bigger thing, and to self-isolate and look after ourselves at home, it's something I think we should all be able to focus on. And yeah, it will be tough at times, but think of the good times ahead when we'll be able to catch up with people, and when we'll be able to get back to training and work, and seeing all our friends and family again will be something to look forward to. So grind it out and keep smiling, as they say.
Yeah, we were saying that earlier on. I don't even think it'll be the big games that'll have us emotional. It'll be any game at all, I think, and we'll be jumping with joy when it comes back. But yeah, we were also talking, John, about how teams are kind of using inventive ways to train together without being together, or, you know, doing kind of things that are a little bit crazy at times, as we saw with CJ Stander and the Sheep. What are you doing to try and connect and stay as a team and kind of keep the programme going?
Yeah, well, look, obviously, you have the WhatsApp groups for the players and the management and stuff to stay in contact. Then you have the fitness, the head of fitness and the head of strength and conditioning, kind of the head of sports science. They all have sent out individual programs to the players, and most of them before you kind of got an idea that there was going to be a kind of a shutdown, a lockdown. So I think the gym, some of the clever lads got in there early and they were getting the kit men. They're getting the kit men to deliver, whether it be bikes or bits of gym equipment back to their houses or apartments. So some of the boys were ahead of the game and other boys are playing a bit of catch-up. But no, I think the important part is the club have been very good, keeping in touch with the players, not also just about physically, but with the availability of psychologists and different things like that as well, if needed, or if some lads use that scenario, it's there for them. And it's an important part to not only keep physically fit, but keep the mind fit as well.
John, you've been there. From a player's point of view, they're going to come back fresh as daisies. But what I probably have noticed, maybe with Six Nations, when you haven't been around coaches for a while and they haven't coached, they're so eager to get going, they probably run you ragged. You know, how are you, as a coaching group, going to manage that?
Yeah, it's going to be the tricky part because, as you said, whether it be some lads have played most of the season, other boys are coming back from injuries, they're going to be really fresh. And then the lads, as I said, have played lots of the games. So they are... It's the time frame, Donica, in the sense of will everyone need a starting block from the same, as in if they've all had more than kind of 4 or 5 weeks off, then it's kind of going to be everyone on a level playing field and you can kind of keep everyone then to like a miniature pre-season together, everyone on the same sheet. But if it was less than that or longer than that, it'll come down to the individual players as well. But the coaches will be just looking forward to getting on the pitch again, and like the players too, getting back to normal.
John, we heard yesterday the news about the Euro 2020 qualifiers being postponed indefinitely, and of course that threw up the conundrum with the FAI and Mick McCarthy and Stephen Kenny. And it's not that long since you were away from the Republic of Ireland squad. Just as a player with that situation, would you prefer the new person coming in or the continuity of the manager that you already have?
For me personally, Marie, I'd like to continue the same. And I think that the majority of the boys, I can't speak for the boys, but I would imagine, and I think it's when they talk about fairness, when someone's given a job of qualifying for a tournament and unforeseen circumstances like this pop up, I'm sure Stephen Kenny would understand too, like he's going to be the next senior international manager at some stage, and I'm sure he'd understand. I think everyone would. If Mick does go ahead and beat Slovakia and win the next playoff against Bosnia and Northern Ireland, that he fully deserves to take the team to the tournament. So, but it's out of our hands, as they say. The FAI will have to deal with that, and hopefully it'll come to a fairly easy solution. I think if Mick does qualify, I think Mick and his coaching team deserve to take the team to the tournament.
John, I love that you've come off the fence with that. You know, like, it's an easy one to tip away, but you've strong beliefs in it.
Yeah, totally. Because you can imagine, for me, it's so straightforward. If you're the manager and you sign a contract to take a team to a tournament and you've gotten this far to a playoff and, as we've spoken about, unforeseen circumstances has ruled that out, I'm sure there can be an agreement made. I don't know about deferrals of the contract and all those type of things, but the people in charge now in the FAI, it's an early test of maybe what they have to come up with, maybe something obviously they weren't thinking they were going to have to deal with, but they're going to have to deal with it very soon, hopefully. And hopefully, as I said, it works out for everyone, because I'm sure... Stephen is looking forward, and rightly so, as you would be. It's an amazing honour to manage our country, and Mick is hopefully going to take the team to a major tournament again. So I think it can be common ground sorted quite easily, I think, but you never know.
Well, it's definitely a decision I wouldn't like to have to make. I have very simple plans for the weekend, so my mind will be fully focused on Sunderland Till I Die season 2. John, are you going to watch it?
I've got that many things on the go at the minute. I'm going to have to wait. I will watch it eventually. Being honest about Maria, it was something I was never keen about right from the very start. If you remember the first season of it, I was barely honest.
Yeah.
Apparently that was by choice. It was just something I didn't really agree with. And but they've carried on. I was happy about how they made the people at the club come out of it very well, as in the canteen staff and the people working behind the scenes, the unsung heroes. They rightly so came out of it brilliantly, and hopefully it's the same again in the second season.
Yeah, absolutely. John, thanks so much for joining us. Whatever about the coaching at Reading, it's going well out the back garden because there isn't one broken window yet.
Oh, no. I have a couple of... Joe Canning, thankfully, sent me over a couple of Hurleys and Slitters, so I've managed to hide them at the moment, and they're on tennis balls and a couple of footballs, so that'll keep them busy.
Exactly. Work them up to it. John, thanks so much for joining us on Game On.
No worries. Take care.
Thanks. We're going to take a quick break and we're back with our Thursday topic.
On 2FM with Gillette. When we show our best side, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. Game on 2FM.
Okay, since the start of the pandemic, we've seen the downturn and the economical effects on businesses throughout the country. But to see how it's affecting the sports world and how they're adapting, we're delighted to be joined by Dundalk's Brian Gartland and Kerry's Darren O'Sullivan. Lads, how are you?
How you doing? Good, thanks.
Good stuff. Brian, we'll go to you because we spoke to you not so long ago about the basketball camps you've set up and your new business, recoveryrooms.ie. How are you getting on?
Yeah, well, we're not getting on. I suppose that's the problem at the moment, but it's like the same as the rest of the country. Everyone's just at a standstill. Yeah, a couple of months ago I was with you guys and it was, you know, I was optimistic and I was upbeat. It was hard work getting it all set up, and I suppose I opened the doors there at the very start of March and I had 3 or 4 decent days, and then this kicked in and just put it all on hold. So so it's been eventful couple of weeks, I suppose, since 2-3 weeks since then.
Wow. Darren, like most athletes or ex-athletes, you have a mix of different employment roles with the bar and the restaurant and Max Sport. How are you getting on?
Yeah, good. Thanks for turning the X, but I love hearing that.
We're all there now, kid. We're all there now. Don't be, dry your eyes.
Yeah, no, I suppose I'm seeing it from both sides, but I suppose when this was all breaking, we were getting ready to open up the bar restaurant for the start of the season and kind of ease into it. And we made the decision, I suppose, before everyone else made their decisions, you know, that probably wasn't the right time to be doing it. So we kind of prepared ourselves for that. But at the same time, I suppose, we, like everyone else, didn't think it was going to go on like this and the unknown at the moment. So I suppose I'm seeing it from that point that one business is closed, but obviously being part of Max Sport and just seeing, I suppose, how busy things can get. I suppose from a home fitness and home gym point of view, things are very busy. I suppose for people's mental health and well-being, they want to be active, they want to be doing as much as possible. And I suppose with social media, it's all in your fingertips as well. So I've seen it from both sides. I suppose Max Sport is busy with I suppose, a huge uptake in home fitness equipment. Even small things are skipping ropes. They make a big difference to people. They're just being able to go outside for 10, 15 minutes out to the backyard and stuff like that.
Darren, we've interviewed a lot of sports people over the last few weeks who are at home, and we talk all the time to people as well who, you know, might not be elite sports but are just interested in fitness and in health. And the common theme that I've noticed is that although people want to look after their physical health, that their mental health needs care too, and those two go hand in hand. So being able to actually get some equipment is a really good service.
Yeah, that's it. Like, in fairness to the guys, like, I suppose I'm sitting at my kitchen table every day and I'm on the laptop and I'm doing bits and pieces and I feel bad because the work the lads are doing above in Dublin, obviously I can't be up there. But it is a massive service that they're providing. They're working very hard at the moment. They are very busy, and just trying to get the orders out is a challenge. And I suppose people have to understand that as well, that I suppose we'd normally be a bit quicker at getting it out, but the demand is so high at the moment. I suppose we're very lucky that we have the stock and we are able to keep reloading and keep getting it out to people. And it is, like I see it myself, I'm sitting at home every day and I'm working away at the kitchen table, but I have actually kitted out my shed only a month or so ago before this started. So just being able to get out for 40-50 minutes, clear the head, you feel better afterwards. Like, obviously you feel healthy, but it's good for the mind, it's good for the head, just to give a bit of a switch off as well.
Darren, are you announcing a comeback there, is it?
I'm trying my best. I keep texting Peter Keane, he's not replying.
Absolutely. Brian, when we spoke last, you were saying that you were getting a lot of support and mentorship from different people and organisations. How's that been now for you with the recoveryrooms.ie? Is there still that support around you to help you with a young business?
Yeah, there's been a lot of people, I suppose, just giving me advice and that, but none more so than I reached out to the Enterprise office a couple of weeks ago, and I got a bit of mentorship there, and it's been brilliant. Just, you know, I sort of buried my head in the computer for a week there, redid a new business plan. Everything had to be scaled back and allow for, I suppose, nothing for the next 3 months and uncertainty after that. So yeah, I'm filling out a lot of forms, new cash flow forecasts, and really in detail, and just redoing everything. I suppose doing the whole setup and startup of a business again. So I've just, I suppose, finished that and submitted an application with, I suppose, a load of different appendices, and hopefully get financed. That would, you know, just secure me for the next few months, and then, you know, everything be ready to go then, and I firmly believe it's going to, you know, be a success after that. I've done all the hard work and put in the long miles now, but I suppose I had forecasted takings for the next 2-3 months, and that would be a bit of startup costs, and I suppose costs that, you know, can't be avoided. So yeah, so looking for a bit of finance to tide me through that period, and then hopefully from then can open up, kick off, and like in every crisis, there's always a bit of opportunity, and it's like Darren said there, everybody's into fitness and that again. So, and people are finding themselves going back into fitness because they just need to get out of the house or do something, and for their mental health. Teams then will need to do a pre-season again, and it'll be like a reset button. So, you know, I'm hoping that I can capitalise on stuff like that and find opportunities in the midst of all this.
And Brian, then you have your football as well. Is that helping you kind of cope with everything that's going on then in that professional side of your life?
Yeah, it's, you know, that's my job first and foremost. And we're still working. We're working hard. We get our program sent up. We're working remotely, obviously, but with different apps we use, we're held accountable. And I try to get up and get it done first thing in the morning. And it sets me up for the day. Mentally, it just gives me a little kick. You feel great after it. You've got, you know, good hard work done and keeps you focused. So yeah, it really does, I suppose, help in times like this.
To be fair, Brian, you're trying to extend the contract now as well, as opposed to Darren just trying to get back in the game.
I'm not too far behind him there with that, with the exo, but trying to drag it out for as long as I can.
You're dead right. Darren, tell us, you know, obviously you're saying sales are increased, people are looking at home equipment. Any of the sports people, GA crowd, without giving away, obviously, GDRP and all that, but has there been an increase from any county boards trying to get certain equipment to anyone?
Yeah, well, I suppose that, like, there's obviously an increase in the home equipment, but obviously we do corporate as well, and I suppose that side of it has totally died off. So without the increase in the home equipment, we'd be struggling to pay wages. But there is, like, I suppose that's where, I suppose, my few contacts come in handy. I get a lot of messages from footballers, hurlers, county boards, just looking at what can we get in. At the same time, I don't think county boards are looking to spend big money now, because they're just hoping that this won't last forever. But it is, in fairness, I get a lot of players getting on to me now, and they're just looking at bits and pieces. So fellas are investing, they're spending their own money to make sure that their bodies are as close to full fitness or as good as it can be when hopefully the season does get up and running.
God, it's such a difficult time for people, because you don't plan for that at all. And, you know, we were making jokes about, you know, take the watt bike on your way out, but not everybody has that opportunity, because GAA clubs don't have gyms like that people can just raid and take home. But Brian, for you guys, like, how are you been monitored then? Like, you know, what's been taken from you in terms of stats?
So in terms of, you use apps to, you know, track your runs. We've got different runs each, you know, every 3 or 4 runs a week, different types of running. So you're using apps to track that, your times, your distances and everything. And then on the other side of things, you have for your workouts, you know, I suppose we planned for this, and in the build up to, I suppose, the lockdown coming, people were told to take a certain equipment from the gym, especially lads that live far away, and that I was still going up to use the gym, only across the road, myself in the club, on my own. So, but then Friday night came, and you know, the announcement was made. I dropped a little text to see if I'd still be able to sneak in each morning on my own, and I was told I couldn't. They had to shut the place. So I went up with a van and emptied out a rower and Olympic bar and weight and different things, whatever it could, sleds and that. So I have them out the back. So, you know, your sense, I suppose, workouts in terms of gym workouts to do with what equipment you have. And all lads were, like I said, were told to take certain equipment beforehand in the build-up, just in case the lockdown came that you weren't stuck. And again, you're held accountable by sending in videos and to track certain exercises and stuff like that.
Yeah, Brian, just on it there, like when you're in the sports bubble, everyone's telling you to have stuff going on outside of the sport to be ready for the transition. But obviously this must be a bit stressor for you at the moment when you're talking about, you know, people's employment. And, you know, I know the sports side of you can get ready for football again, but the kind of boss, the manager, the person in charge of other people's livelihoods, that must be a stressor.
Yeah, it is big time. And I suppose it's the age I'm at as well. You know, I'm worried about my own sort of future. My contract's up at the end of the year. A couple of things I've put a lot of effort in to secure my own future going forward as well as other people. So yeah, it is a big stress, and you sort of just have to deal with it. I had a few days where it was a little bit of a close to a meltdown, you know, things just catch up on you and you need to step back and reset and just get focused. And yeah, you got to be positive. You got to think of, you know, right, what you do, you reset, you make new plans and you stick to them and you march forward with them. You can't change what's happened, so you know, you can only affect what's in front of you, and that's what you have to focus on that way. And it can always be worse. Like, the whole country's in the same boat here, so we're all in it together, and we all just got to work hard to get out of it.
Yeah, absolutely agreed, Brian. By the sounds of your training, I think there's a contract extension in the post, definitely. Thanks so much for joining us on Game On.
Darren, thanks for having me.
We're delighted to hear the comeback is on and you'll be out there soon.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, thanks so much, Darren. Thanks for joining us on Game On.
Thanks
a million.
Okay, that's it from all the team here on Game On. A massive thank you to everyone, especially Captain Crow. Up next, it's the awesome Gavin James performing live on 2FM for the ISPCC. Omar McDermott will explain how you can help Childline, who unfortunately have seen a 60% increase in calls during this pandemic. It's hard times, but it's even harder for some of our children out there. So if you can help, please do. We're back tomorrow at 6, but up now, it's your news.
Live across the nation, this is RTE 2FM.